Bible part ready, would you like to turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 11? Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. And we shall read from verse 7. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. This is my last study on the word dog in the scriptures. And I did this study with you last February in connection with Chinese New Year. Now, Exodus chapter 11, we have the first occurrence of the word dog in the scriptures. Let us read what it says there. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. This study this morning is a continuation of the year of the dog that I began with you last February when I was here. So today I shall continue with the second part of this study. But to do so, I would like to very quickly recapitulate what I said in part one, so that you have the flow of our study. The dogs, their concepts and comparisons. Now, I mentioned to you that the word dog occurs in the singular form 15 times, in the plural form 24 times, making a total of 39 times in 38 verses. Now, I may like to say this to encourage the younger ones who are budding speakers and Bible teachers, that a very interesting study of the Bible is to study a particular word. Do not go, as you prepare your studies, to write to internet and start taking your sermons there. Wait upon the Lord. Study the word. Get the word out. And then look at all the references where that word occurs. And then see how the Lord leads you to bring these verses, these references, these texts together to come to form into a message that the Lord would like you to use to pass on to the people. Do not go into internet for sermon preparations. Do not go into internet for your messages. Wait upon the Lord. Now, I must say this. All my studies on East Chinese New Year animals, you can never find on the internet. Because I don't think there's any study at all on such animals in connection with Chinese New Year. So I would like to encourage as many of you budding speakers and Bible teachers to look into the word itself. And from the word, meditate upon it, spend time on it, and develop the message as the Lord leads you on. So, the word dog occurs 39 times in 38 verses. I mentioned that to you. And they were used in the natural form, a dog as a dog. For example, we see the dog licking the wounds or soles of Lazarus. We see the dog licking the blood of Ahab. We see the dog eating the flesh of Jezebel. And, well, you know the lessons that we could learn already from my last study. The word dog is also used in its metaphorical sense. In other words, it is used figuratively, not as what it is, but to refer particularly, perhaps, to a person. For example, the male prostitute is regarded as a dog. And the Bible says that earnings from a male prostitute, or for that matter, any immoral income, should not be used for the Lord's activities. The Judaizers who wanted the people, those Jews who had become Christians, to turn back to Judaism, to keep the Sabbath, to be circumcised, they are looked upon as dogs. That's how Paul referred to them. And so on. We ourselves are dead dogs, as we shall see later on. Then there are some of these odd texts, very special texts, where the word dog is used or linked up with another animal, the pig. And we find, for example, in Matthew 7:6, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself advised, do not give holy things to the dog. Neither do you give or cast pearls before swine. Then again, we find in 2 Peter 2:22 that dogs go back to their vomit, and pigs or sows go back after they have been washed to the mire to swallow in the mud. That's all bad. Now, you can learn many lessons from there, as I already pointed out in my first part. Then, if you look into the concordance, you'll find that the word dung, as used by the law by Paul when he said, I'm prepared to forego all things and to count them as dung in order that I may win Christ. What does the word dung mean? In your other modern versions, it's rubbish. It is actually rubbish that is thrown to the dogs that we do not want. And we know from another text that any animal that has been torn apart by other animals, the flesh must never be eaten by men. The flesh must be thrown to the dogs. And so we learn all these precious lessons from the occurrence of the word dog. Then we compare the word dog as used metaphorically. For example, we find that we at one time were actually dogs saved by grace. For example, Mephibosheth, when he went to see King David after having been invited to sit at his table, he said, I'm a dead dog. And of course, we are dead. In Ephesians 2, you read that we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead. So I'm a dead dog. So we are dogs in a way. But we are no more dogs before God, because by the very grace of God, by grace are ye saved through faith, we have been invited to the table of the Lord, and today we are at the Lord's table to remember the Lord. We are no more dogs. In fact, the woman referred to the Gentile Christians as Gentile pets, Gentile dogs. And she asked the Lord Jesus Christ, please heal my daughter of being indwelt by the demons. The Lord said, no, my first priority is to go to the Jews, the children who sit at the table. And she said, that's true, Lord, you give bread to the children at the table, but some of these pieces of bread, the crumbs, fall onto the ground and the dogs eat. Lord, we are your dogs. She was not despising us as dogs in the streets, but pets, Gentile dogs, Gentile pets, loved by people. And therefore, we are dogs in a way, but we are no more dogs now. We have been saved by grace. We eat at the king's table. Dogs are streetwalkers. Dogs are scavengers. They eat flesh. They drink blood. They lick blood and so on. So we are no more dogs of that nature. Behave, therefore, not as dogs, because we are no more dogs. And dogs are no good. In Isaiah 56:10 onwards, we read about all the bad things about dogs. In fact, so far in our study, we find that all the things said about dogs are no good. Are no good at all. Isaiah 56, dogs are likened to watchmen in the city gate, watching for enemies to come. And if the enemies come and the watchmen are dumb, they do not warn, then what's the point of having watchmen there? They are like dumb dogs. Also, when they see enemies come, They do not tell the people inside the fort that enemies are coming. They sleep. So they are not performing their function. They are sleeping dogs. That's what how they are referred to. Now, with this, is there nothing at all said about dogs which is good? Yes, there's something said about dogs which is good, and that is found in Job chapter 30 and verse 1, where Job scolded and rebuked his three friends for saying all sorts of things that were bad about him and not respecting him as an older person, older than all the other three. He said, look here, you rebuke me as an elderly person. You have no respect for me. Do you know that if I have your parents, I will not even put your parents together with my sheepdog, Job 30 verse 1. My sheepdog are even better than your parents. Why does he blame the parents for the bad behavior of these three friends who rebuked him? Why? Because the Malays know that. When you call a person korang ajar, the Malays are very angry. Because that is a rebuke not to those people concerned, it's a rebuke to the parents, that the parents have not ajar their children well. And therefore, when you scold korang ajar, the parents are very, very angry. You can scold the children anything you like, but don't say korang ajar. Don't involve the parents. Well, Job has this idea. You have been very disrespectful. Therefore, I will not even place you among my sheepdogs, which are better than you. Okay, so we find that the sheepdog is a good reference in the text, in the Bible, for those that are good. Now, let's see what we can learn from this sheepdog. I told you last time also that the sheepdog actually would figuratively refer also to elders in the church. For example, in Hebrews, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, we find that elders are referred to as the under-shepherds, and the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. And elders watch for our souls as sheep dogs. Hebrews 13, 17. They watch for us. They watch for our souls. Obey them that have the rule over you. For they watch for our souls, and they have to give an account for us before the Lord. Elders warn us of grievous and ravenous wolves. You know, in Acts chapter 20, Paul called the elders together at Ephesus, and he said, soon after my departure, grievous wolves will come into your midst and will bring false doctrines and false teaching into your midst and take your sheep away. Beware of them. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:15 said, beware of ravenous wolves, who are false prophets and who are ready to seize the sheep and take them away. Elders must take care of their sheep, because sheep will appear in wolves will appear in sheep's clothing, so that you hardly notice them. And therefore, elders must ever be watchful that no false prophets, no false teachers come into the midst and steal the sheep away by indoctrinating them. The elders themselves must know the word, must know the scriptures, and must know their sheep so that they take care of them and watch over them. All right. Sorry. Elders also work for the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. When the chief shepherd will appear, they will be rewarded. And finally, we have 2 Peter 2:22, which I quoted earlier, where there is a reference to dogs going back to what was vomited out by them and then going back to lick up what was vomited. Oh, how vile and gross. These dogs refer to those who at one time professed to be Christians, professed to be among the Christians. They are not false teachers, but they are the sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing, and after that, turn back to become wolves, to become what they are, never saved. This text does not refer to any person who has been truly saved and can be lost. It does not refer to that according to the context. Don't use that verse for that. That verse is a reference to those who profess the Lord Jesus Christ and but actually never possess Him in their hearts, and they are the ones who are those who will return to their vomit. And like pigs, they will go after they have been washed, it said in 2 Peter 2:22, after they have been washed, they will go back to their mire and wallow in the mud. Alright, now we start our part 2, the year of the dog. We shall continue to study the word dog as it occurs in the Bible. The dogs that were silenced. The next occurrence of the word dog was the first occurrence of the word that we read just now in the scriptures in Exodus 11 verse 7. Where we read that when the Lord would go into Egypt, the dogs in Israel would be silenced. Let me develop that. When the Lord descended on Egypt, you know the story of what happened at the Passover. A supernatural phenomenon took place. There was the Lord in Exodus 11, 4 and 7 who said, I will go into Egypt at midnight and I will strike dead all the firstborn of men and beasts. That was a natural, supernatural phenomenon. First time, the word dog occurs because the Lord also said when He would go into Egypt to strike the firstborn of men and women and beasts as well, so that they would all be slain, a strange thing would happen to the dogs. This would be the evidence that it was God who was working. Why? I'll tell you as we go on. Firstly, the dogs in Israel would be silenced. 11:7. The tongues in their mouths would not move. Whereas the dogs in Egypt would start howling and barking and crying out. Now, it is not just natural. For dogs, you know that very well. When one dog barks, the other dogs will follow. When the dogs in Egypt bark, the dogs in Israel should be barking. No. The dogs in Israel were silenced. God silenced them. The dogs in Egypt would bark. And you know what happens when dogs sort of sense a supernatural phenomenon taking place, something spiritual, something ghostly, they will howl up in the air. But the dogs in Israel kept silent. This was the evidence that God was working. Another thing, why this was a great evidence? Because the Egyptians worshipped dogs. And their dogs would be barking and howling, but the dogs in Israel would not be. To show that God was putting a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And the Lord was showing to the Egyptians, look, your dogs, in their natural behavior, in the face of supernatural phenomenon, would bark. But my dogs would not bark. Your dogs, although you claim to worship dogs, have your dogs The deity of dogs had no power to control your dogs. And they bark. But my dogs do not bark. And that was a sign to the Egyptians that God was indeed mightier than their deities, the dogs. By the way, this was the 10th plague that God was bringing upon Egypt. All the 9 plagues were judgments upon the deities of Egypt as well. And this 10th plague, chapter 11, verse 12, last part, was against the very deity that they were worshipping, the god, the dogs. Right. The next occurrence of the word dog that we have to consider, that we never considered before, the dogs that surrounded. And it would be nice if you can now turn to Psalm 22. And you see the word dog occurring there twice. And it's very interesting because it is a great revelation of the use of the word dog in the light of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. It will be good for your Bible study. Psalm chapter 22, verses 16 and 20. First, chapter 22, verse 16. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Dogs have surrounded me. First occurrence in Psalm 22. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Verse 20. What can we learn from these two occurrences of the word dogs in Psalm 22? Well, firstly, let us know that Psalm 22 is prophetic. Why? I shall explain as I go on. It is not of an incident that happened in David's life. Psalm 22, if you look at the superscription at the top, would read a psalm of David. But David never experienced all the things that he described in Psalm 22. So, what is meant by saying dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men? We need not have to use our imagination. The Bible explains itself. Please read the text again. Dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men has encircled me. That's right. The dogs would refer to evil men who would encircle the victim. And then would look forward many thousands of years later when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, when many of the evil men surrounded him on that cross. That was a prophet, that was prophetic. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Here we see again a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, again under the power of the dogs. Let me explain the power of the dogs as we go on. It's a very interesting text. Right, so Psalm 22 is prophetic. The terms and the texts used in Psalm 22 were quoted in history when the time the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. For example, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was used by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in Matthew 27:46. David, in his experience, nowhere in the Old Testament do we read of David saying, my God, what hast thou forsaken me? That text was used by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross at Calvary. You all know that text very well. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, that was the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we read also in chapter 22, verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Nowhere do we read of an incident that occurred to David with regard to this. But with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know in John chapter 19, verse 24, that when he died, his garments were divided into four by lot, among the soldiers. And then there was his undergarment that was seamless. And because it was so precious and so valuable, the soldiers refused to draw lots for them, to cut up the undergarment. Now, this was fulfilled literally in Scripture years later. Then we read, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, if you look at Psalm 22, the study of the context will be from Psalm 22 verse 1 up to about verse 21 or so, you have the sufferings of Christ. And from verse 22 onwards, we find the glory that should follow. And that's what the prophets have been prophesying about, as Peter said, that the prophets have searched diligently concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And so we find that verse 22 is a reference to the glory that should follow. Now, that verse, again, David never used. But it was quoted by the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 2:12 with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven, he said that he that sanctifies is the same as he that sanctifies. He that sanctifies is the same as he that is sanctified. And he is not ashamed to call them brethren. What does that mean? That when the Lord Jesus Christ went up into heaven to be with the Father, he was not ashamed to call all of us who belong to him, who have believed in him, they are my brethren. This fulfilled what was prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 2. Let's go on. Psalm 22 is not only prophetic, it's messianic. In other words, it referred to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, the Messiah. And that's to expect it. Luke 24, verse 44. The two disciples on the road to Damascus, to Emmaus, they were referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ as fools. Not to believe what the prophets, what Moses had written, what the prophets have written, and what the Psalms have written concerning me, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They never believed that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, must rise again from the dead, so that he was walking with them and among them, and they could not recognize him. How strange sometimes the Lord himself is in our midst and we do not know. And we do not know. We are foolish. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, thou fool. And why are we foolish? Because we do not know the scriptures. Many Christians today call themselves Christians, but hardly open their Bibles, hardly know their Bibles. They listen to what the speaker has to say. And that's all that they know about Jesus Christ. That's all that they know about the Bible. But they never open even a page in the Bible to read what the Bible says. They do not know what Moses said. They do not know what the prophet said. They do not know what the Psalms said. And all these constitute the Old Testament. That he must die. He must be buried. He must rise again according to the scriptures. We need to know the scriptures. And so Christ said, with reference even to Psalm 22, that the Psalms spoke of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see, how did the Psalm point to the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, look at the cry of Jesus on the cross. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fulfilled in Matthew 27:46. Again, the Lord Jesus, in Psalm 22, we read the cry of Jesus. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, speaking of the tremendous thirst that a crucified person would suffer on that cross. And Jesus cried, I thirst. John 19 and verse 28. The crucifixion itself, the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ, are mentioned in Psalm 22. They pierce my hands and my feet. And for your knowledge, for the historical background knowledge of Psalm 22, when the Psalm was written, crucifixion was never, never, never in the experience of the history of the Jews. Crucifixion was introduced by the Romans, and the Jews never knew anything about the crucifixion. And yet, these are wounds that are to be associated with crucifixion. How did David know? David did not know, but it was the Spirit writing through him to all, as he that must come, must die, must be buried, and must rise again according to the scriptures. And we find in John 20, 25, the Lord appearing to Thomas, who was not present in his first appearance to the disciples a week earlier. Thomas did not believe unless I put my hand, my fingers in his nail prints on his hands, unless I put my hand into the spear that the wound that the spear had pierced into his side, I will not believe. The Lord appeared and the Lord challenged him. Thomas, put your fingers on my nail prints, on my hands. Thomas, put your hand, stretch out, put it into my side and see the spear print in my side. Thomas never did. Never did. He saw the Lord. He just knelt down and he cried, my Lord and my God. You know, we come every Sunday here to remember the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To remember these very things, these very wounds that the Lord suffered on the cross. I wonder what they appear to us. Routine, nothing at all, nothing, just one of those meetings and one of the services and so on? Or does it speak to us that every morning, every Sunday when we come before the Lord who has been wounded, who has died, who has been buried, who has raised, who has been risen again, who has risen again, and who is now in heaven for us? Do we acknowledge that? Do we see the Lord in that? The clothes of Jesus, I mentioned that earlier, they were divided and they were fulfilled in John 19, 24. So, all these words in the Psalms were fulfilled not in David, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Psalm 22 is not only prophetic, messianic, but also metaphoric. In other words, it's figurative. There are certain other animals that are used to indicate, to link up to the actual people prophesied. The bulls of Bashan, Abortion, Psalm 22 verse 12. They are strong bulls, savage bulls that would attack. And it said, the strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, many bulls surround me. Again, not only the dogs surround the victim, but the bulls surround these victims. They are also ravening and roaring lions, Psalm 22:13. And it is good for us to know that lion is figurative for the devil also. They are it's ravening, it is ready to devour, as we read in 1 Peter 5:8, the chief of lions, he is the one, the devil, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And so we find all these enemies were concentrated on the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross at Calvary. This is the so-called crucifixion message that must be given on a day when we remember the Lord and not any other thing. The roaring lions opened their mouths to deride and scorn, Psalm 22 verses 6 to 8. While your Bible is open there, I'd like to read that because it is so graphic. Psalm 22, verses 6 to 8. And it reads like this. Psalm 22, verse 6. It says there, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised by the people. All they who see me love me to scorn. All they who see me love me to scorn. The people who pass by, they love me to scorn, fulfilled in Matthew 27, 39 to 44. Now, pictures have depicted the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified on a cross high up in the mount. Others think that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the roadside. And here we find that the passers-by, as they came by, they would deride him. And they would say, all who see me love me to scorn. They shoot out their lips, they shake their heads, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. This was fulfilled in Matthew 27, 39, 44. We read also in Matthew 27, 39, there were the elders, there were the priests, there were the leaders who make fun. He who boasted of being able to destroy the temple and raise it up in 3 days. We challenge you now, raise it up in 3 days if you can. There were the soldiers, there were the thief on the cross. If you be the Christ, save yourself and save us. All these prophecies were fulfilled when these roaring lions opened their mouths to as if to devour the victim. The surrounding and the seizing dogs. Let's go further to examine who were those dogs who were surrounding the victim. They surrounded the victim, as we read in Psalm 22, verse 16. In Gethsemane, Judas led a group of soldiers, chief priests and Pharisees, and by false loyalty went up to Jesus and kissed him to identify Jesus to his enemies. Jesus was surrounded by his enemies. Again, in the court, when he was tried by the Sanhedrin, the council of the Jewish leaders, the chief priests were there, the elders were there, the scribes were there, the Sanhedrin leaders were there. All were there in Mark 15:1, and they were pointing a finger at the Lord Jesus Christ. At the praetorium, at the common hall, Jesus was scourged by the soldiers, and they mocked Jesus. If thou be the Christ, then they bow him, that they bow themselves down, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and they put a purple robe upon him, and they mocked him as the king of Israel. Oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. All for us. You know, when you read Psalm 22, and you compare with the gospel writings, you will not be what you are now when you come to the Lord's Supper. Because as you see how he suffered for you, it was all done that he who we sang just now this morning, he was a worm. So to speak, from one who is the Son of God, he became a worm for us all. They surrounded the victim and they cast all sorts of remarks about him. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. But when Jesus was on the cross, all the disciples had forsaken him and fled. We read in Matthew 26, 56, all the disciples forsook him. He was left alone. Those whom he loved, he thought, who were supposed to be loyal to him, they forsook him. God, his father, had to forsake him because he was bearing the sins of the world on the tree. Your sins, my sins. In his body, he bore our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He stood alone. There was nobody with him. The Father was not with him. His disciples were not with him. Even the women who followed him down from Galilee, down to the place where he was crucified, they were not with him. At the cross, he was alone. He stood alone. Then the question asked is, must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must he? Why had all these forsaken him? A question that you and I need to ask. That today, whether we are with him. Despite the victim, 22 verse 16. Please read again. Verse 16. The sufferings foretold in Psalm 23 of a crucified victim. Discard the soul, the victim, 22:20. Deliver my soul. Please look at that verse. Very important. Full of lessons for us to learn. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. The sword. Deliver my soul from the sword. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 7. A fantastic prophetical text about the Lord Jesus Christ. Awake, O soul, and strike my fellow. Strike the one who is sitting beside me. Strike the man. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 7. Definitely it was not a prophecy concerning any person. It was a prophecy concerning how the Lord would react to his son. He would take the sword. Thou lifted up thy rod. O God, it fell on thee. And the Lord woke up that sword. And the sword fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. His fellow. His man. To show proof that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ was truly God. And sitting with the Lord in his presence at that time. But let's go on with that text. It says, darling. That's in King James Version. Darling is from the Hebrew word yokid, which means alone, only. And it is used as in the case of Genesis 22 verse 2 of Joseph. Abraham was told by God, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering for me. That was his darling. His darling would have to be sacrificed and offered. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. The darling also, of course, refers to the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose God spared not his son, his only son, but delivered him up for us all. But take the word now, power. What does the word power mean? Now, power is yod in Hebrew. It's from a primary word which means a hand. But not a hand, it's the open one. The power of the dog, the hand of the dog, open up, what for? To spite. Ready to spite. Hand open. That's why it is translated the power. Literally, is the hand. Open hand to strike. Now, Luke 23:46. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. What does this word hand mean? Is that another word? And it means an open hand. But it refers to the hollowness of the open hand. the hand of the dog is opened up to spite. The hand of the father is opened up and it refers to the hollow of the hand to receive. To receive. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so the Lord, he surrendered his life back to the Father. Thus the Son was delivered from the hands of the dog to the hands of the Father. Both hands are open, one to strike, the other to receive. Let me conclude now. The Son delivered from the hands of the dogs is now in the hands of God, and together Father and Son stretch out their hands to save sinners. Look, Isaiah 52. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers of wilderness. I create all these things. Have not I the power to receive you and save you? Have I not? I create this universe. I put the sun in the orbit. I put the stars in the orbit. I do not have the power to save you and secure you. Will you ever be allowed to return to the woman? No. If you have truly been secure and truly been saved, you will not return to your woman. You will be secure in the hands of the Father. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Whoever you are, wherever you are, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My hand. The Lord also uses his hand. You come, you believe. The Lord puts you in his hand. He secures you in his hand, right there. Hold you, secure, tight. No man can snatch it away from and snatch you away from him. No man, no one. Now, let's see what happens. My Father, which greater than me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one is able to pluck them out, pluck anyone out from my hand. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand that grabs my hand so that you have got two hands clasping you. Can you be more secure than this? Double secure. Praise the Lord that today, if you have truly believed in the Lord, you are safe and secure and you never get lost again. Don't believe those who tell you that you can get lost, because if you truly believe, you will not get lost. I and my Father are one, as if the two hands now are merged and become one, doubly strong to protect you and secure you. I and my Father are one. Very important. So, conclusion. In this year of the dog, consider all things as rubbish that you may gain Christ. Be as dogs, saved by grace, well contented in him, walking with him, working for him, worshipping him. Be not the dog that is dead, dumb, and directionless, walking the streets, scavenging for crumbs that the world offers when you can feast at the Lord's table. Please don't go out and search for the dog. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. They are dangerous dogs that seek to entangle you into the bondage of sin, superstition, and scare. Do not be afraid. Trust the Lord, you are secure in him. May the Lord bless you. And, well, a very, 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 very belated, blessed Chinese New Year to you. The Lord bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for thyself. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And now we are secure in him. We thank you for the hands that secure us. We thank you for the hands that protect us. And we thank you for the hands that lead us day by day, each day of the week and of the year. We thank you for the hands that will lead us back to thyself in heaven one day. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.